That's the passage that we shared, that Brenda read this morning from the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah paints this incredible picture of peace and hope. He talks about the lineage of David, the kingdom of David. And he said, "A shoot shall come from the stump of Jesse. The Spirit of the Lord will be upon him, the one who is to come. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, and there will be righteousness and justice and mercy and equality." And then he added that imagery of all these animals that are natural predators who will come together and coexist in peace. The lion shall live with the lamb. Now, what do you think about passages like that? I mean, it's Christmas, we're talking about hope, and it sounds good, doesn't it? But was Isaiah just preaching? Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, was living through one of the most horrific events in world history. The mighty Assyrians were slicing their way through Israel, leaving nothing but a trail of death, destruction, suffering, and blood. It has been called the first Holocaust of the Jews. It was that devastating. And in the midst of this hopelessness, in the living nightmare of suffering, when there were no signs that peace would ever come, that justice would ever emerge, that the promise to Abraham would ever live, the prophet spoke. And he essentially tells us the promise of God is more powerful than the destructiveness of humanity. That's telling me that whatever situation you're in, no matter how desperate, no matter how helpless you might feel, no matter how hopeless the situation or impossible, the message is there is a light. There is a light shining in the darkness, and the light is always greater than the darkness. Love is always greater than hate. The promise of God is always more powerful than the destructiveness of humanity. Isaiah tells of the one who will come. The Spirit of the Lord will be upon him. But you notice he doesn't talk about power. He doesn't talk about authority, of long life, of pomp and pageantry. The only talk is a basic concern for justice and equality and righteousness, reaching out to the poor and the needy and the oppressed. So how do we relate to this? I mean, what does this passage mean to us on the second Sunday of Advent in the year 2013? Isaiah's world was different than ours in so many ways, but you know, in some ways, some things have not changed. Isaiah lived in a world in which the powerful ruled. There was greed. There was oppression. And there was tyranny. You read the Old Testament. You look at the historical context of the Old Testament. There is always a power struggle, beginning with the Egyptians, going to the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, and later the Romans. Well, what about us? Look at our generation. Our generation is one where the powerful rule, where there is greed and oppression and tyranny. If we go back to the 20th century, the mighty ruled. When the sun dawned on the 20th century, the British Empire was the greatest empire on the face of the earth. And then the United States came into prominence in the 20th century. But then you had Germany, and you had Japan. And 72 years ago today, Franklin Roosevelt stood before a joint session of Congress and asked for a declaration of war, citing the day that will live in infamy, December the 7th, 1941. And the United States entered the Second World War. And since then, It has been a struggle of power. The United States, the Soviet Union, China, Iran, Iraq. You see, it's all about power. And it's all about control. And it's all about oppression. But the only concern in this passage is peace and justice and equality and mercy and grace. And I'll be honest with you. I struggle with passages like this. Because, Jim, when I see the lion and the lamb lying down together, I say, yeah, right. When I hear about swords being beaten into plowshares, I say, yeah, right. That won't ever happen. We have a hard time relating to it in, quote, the real world. And so I've been looking for something. I've been looking for a common denominator, some way to try to make sense of these passages. And I went back to the Gospel of Mark, to the 9th chapter of Mark, when Jesus was talking about power and greatness and authority and control. In fact, the disciples were having their little discussion. You remember? They got into an argument about who would be the greatest and who would have the positions of leadership and power and control. You see, they were all about this same thing. And Jesus stopped them. And he had a come-to-Jesus meeting with them. The ultimate come-to-Jesus meeting. And this is what he did. It's in the 9th chapter of Mark. He took a child. And he put the child in the midst of them. And he said, you know what's important? This child is what's important. There is nothing more important than our children. Did you notice in this passage that Brenda just read, Isaiah is talking about a child. And he mentions a child not once, not twice, but three times in this passage. And he uses the analogy of animals to talk about the dangerous world in which we live, that world in which the powerful rule, predators prey on the weaker ones. But he gives us a vision of a dangerous world in which children may safely play. The common denominator is a child. This weekend, we're honoring the legacy and memorializing the life of one of our generation's or any generation's greatest leaders, Nelson Mandela, a man whose life is the epitome of the fight for righteousness and justice and equality. You know what Nelson Mandela once said? There can be no keener revelation of a society's soul than the way it treats its children. And it is reported that Mandela gave 50% of his salary to help children. This coming Saturday will be a painful anniversary. It was 1 year ago, this coming Saturday, when a deranged young gunman went into an elementary school and opened fire. Of all the terrible things that happened that day, there were many signs of grace and love. And one is the story of a 69-year-old retired psychologist by the name of Gene Rosen. He said he heard gunfire. He lived about a block away from the school. He heard gunfire, but he thought it was hunters in the woods. His routine every morning was to go to the diner and have coffee with his buddies. When he walked out of the house a few minutes later, there were six small children, first graders, 6 years old, seated in a perfect semicircle. And there was a school bus driver standing with them, trying to tell them that everything would be all right. He walked up to the children, and one of the little boys said, "We can't go back to school. Our teacher is dead. We don't have a teacher." And that's when Gene Rosen took the children, brought them inside his home. He went upstairs and got stuffed animals, like this little dog. He had a stuffed animal for every child. He loved them. He comforted them. He got juice and snacks for them. And he listened to them. He was able to get the phone numbers from the school bus company and call the parents. But this is what he said. He said, I had no idea what was going on, what had happened. I just simply could not take it in. But what had happened was when this gunman charged into this first grade classroom, Victoria Soda, 27 years old, stood in the line of fire protecting her children. These six apparently had to run past her body to safety. They told Rosen he had a big gun and a little gun, and he would not discuss the other things that they shared with him. He called their parents. The parents came and were reunited with their children. He said there was one little girl who spent the whole ordeal clutching a small stuffed Dalmatian to her chest and staring out the window looking for her mommy. When one of the little boys was about to leave, he turned around and he said to Mr. Rosen, "Just saying, your house is very small, very small." Rosen said, "I just told him, I love you. I love you." In this terrifying world of hatred and violence and pain and suffering, children need a small place. They need a small place of safety. They need a small place of comfort and of security and of love and of peace. And if we take the words of Isaiah and if we take the words of Jesus seriously, there is nothing that we can do that is more important than to look after the lives and the safety of our children. And in order for that to happen, there's some things that have to change, because we know that we're living in a mixed up, broken world. There are a lot of things that have to change. There are priorities that have to change. There are programs that have to change. I believe that there are laws that need to be changed. But there is something that is even more important. Because we will never find a world of peace. We will never find that small place for children to be safe and secure unless our hearts change. And did you notice the second reading that Brenda shared with us? It's old John the Baptist. John the Baptist shows up every Christmas messing up our Christmas parties and all of the decor and the beautiful music, because John the Baptist does not fit into Christmas. He's a wild man living out in the wilderness, in the muddy water of the Jordan River, screaming and hollering and eating locusts and wild honey. But he has a message that we need to hear. The message is, repent. Repent. And that simply means to change. That in order to have a world where children are safe, we need to change. We need to change our attitudes, change our priorities, change our focus. Our hearts need to change. And there is only one who can change a broken heart, and that is Jesus. There is only one who can bring about a sense of forgiveness and grace, and that is Jesus. And there is only one who can lead us in the right direction, and that is Jesus. You know, one of the most important things that we do at Christmas, we provide these gifts. Bicycles, teddy bears, clothing, shoes, caps, scarves, sweaters. Do you know why we do this? Because we want children, if only for a little while, to know that they're special, to know that they're loved, to know that there's someone who cares for them, and to help children understand that regardless of their situation, that they still need to dream of a safe place where one day there will be no more threats, and there will be no more danger, and there will be no more violence, where children can play together in a small place, and they will be safe. But it begins with us. It begins with us turning our hearts away from self and directing them totally to God. And so the message of Advent is simply this. We need to recommit ourselves to follow the leadership of Christ and to be agents of reconciliation and grace and forgiveness and change in our world.